a bit tough to, I think, follow that with a message, but we need to feed our spirits, don't we? Break the bread of life together, and I really do want to encourage you all to be praying. And I don't have any more information to share with you at this time. If there's anything pertinent that should be shared, we'll certainly do it. And anyway, there you go. You got your Bibles? Why don't you please open them with me to the book of James. Book of James. And going to continue tonight, third installment in a little series we're doing entitled Prayers and Petitions. We have already looked at prayer for deliverance and prayer for desire, both found in Psalm 20. In that same message, we covered a prayer for dissemination, for the spreading of the Word of God. And then last time, we looked at prayer for our persecutors, those that would do us harm. We talked about prayer for leaders, both secular and spiritual. And we ended with a prayer for when you're tempted to worry, found in Philippians, the fourth chapter. And I want to continue on tonight with a prayer for wisdom. Anybody in the house besides me ever feel like you need wisdom, like all the time? James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, first off, he says to count it all joy when you fall into various types of trials. And the phrase fall into means literally to fall into something that exists all around you all the time. That is the meaning of the word. And we are surrounded by trials and temptations. As I was sharing just a few moments ago, we do live in a fallen world. There are some wicked people in this world, and everything does not function the way that God intended it to. We are just sojourners passing through this earthly life. We're here for a little while, and thank God we can expect help from God during our sojourn. And from time to time, we will fall into various temptations and trials and difficulties that occur. And he said, count it all joy. But he said, knowing this, it's important to know something when you're in a time of difficulty or trial, the testing of your faith produces patience. But then he said, let patience have its perfect or complete work, that you might be complete and lacking nothing. And that's the goal. Now, perhaps you are in a trial or a time of difficulty right now, and you are lacking in your marriage. There is a real incompleteness in your marriage. And you are trusting God to, you're probably trusting God to change your husband or change your wife, and they're probably trusting God that you'll change. But you're trusting God for things to change and to reach, you know, that place of not having that glaring lack in your marriage. Maybe it's in your finances. You're in a great financial trial or difficulty, and there is there's not financial soundness or completeness, and there is a great lack. Well, your faith in God and in His promises can take you to the place, as we see here, of being perfect and entire, lacking nothing. But you're not there yet. Maybe it's with your emotions. Maybe it has to do with your health. Maybe it has to do with some other situation in your life. Maybe with something that you're grappling with. But the fact is, there's a giant lacking, you know, sign over your life at the present. And your little ship doesn't seem to come in. You scan the horizon day after day. He says, well, you have need of patience. But if you continue to scan the horizon day after day, day after day, day after day, and it seems like things never change, and the answer never comes in, and you're never any closer to being complete and lacking nothing, there's probably a missing ingredient: wisdom. And that's why he shares that promise in this context of being in the midst of tribulations, temptations, trials, and troubles. if any of you lacks wisdom, when you're in the trial, in the place of lack, wisdom is the principal thing. And notice the promise. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God will give you everything you need. He'll show you everything you need to see. He'll tell you everything you need to know. And the good thing about God, he won't find fault with you. Like, he's not going to go, I can't believe you're in this mess again. I can't believe you don't know this. Well, I'm going to show you, but you are an idiot. You know, I'm really glad God is that way, but I will confess I am not always that way myself. In fact, just recently I had was talking to a minister that was in a place of great lack, and he called me and felt I had some insight, and I actually did bend down the track a bit further than him in some of these areas. But I found myself, you know, along with giving him the insight that I had, scolding him. And so here I'm telling him, you know, well, you know, I da 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 this and this and this, and you know, I got done, and I immediately thought about these verses from the book of James and how unchristlike my spirit had been, though I had shared with him what I believe was an answer, or at least a partial answer, to get him on the road, you know, to get through this deal he was experiencing. But I didn't do it with a kind of heart that God shares with us. God will give us wisdom liberally without reproach. He won't find fault with us. He's not going to scold us. And, you know, I had to repent, and I got right back on the phone to this individual after that. And I can't tell you how convicted my heart was. In fact, it just seems quite often I find in my own life that I'm not nearly as Christ-like as I would like to be. I may be the only one, but there you go. Now, what understanding or wisdom might you seek when you've fallen into a time of trial or trouble? What kind of things might you ask God, if any of you lack wisdom? What would you want wisdom about when you're in a trial? Well, here's a few thoughts. First, you might seek wisdom concerning the source of your trial, the source of the storm you're in. Is God trying to get your attention because you're being a Jonah? You know, reading the book of Jonah, Jonah apparently had a very bigoted attitude toward the Assyrians. They were the arch enemies of Israel. Maybe he knew, being a prophet, that they would eventually be the undoing of Israel and come in and devastate the land and carry everyone away captive. Whatever the reason, when God said, go preach to Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, Jonah headed the other way. He went as far away as you could have gone in the modern day world, Tarshish. He gets on a ship going to what today is Spain. You couldn't get any farther away from Nineveh in the world at that time. He didn't want to go. So he's in rebellion against God. There are literally thousands of lives, precious souls hanging in the balance. And Jonah gets out on the boat, and you know what? The Bible says God sent a storm on the sea. You might say, well, my theology just doesn't agree with that. I don't believe God will send a storm. Well, change your theology. The Bible says God sent a storm. And it eventually got Jonah's attention. And just to show you how hard-hearted he was and how stubborn and not to do what God said, Jonah told the guy, says, look, I know the storm is because of me. God's trying to get me to go do something. Throw me overboard and the storm will cease. And you know, a great fish swallowed Jonah. Did you know that Jonah did not know that God had prepared the fish? When he said, throw me over, Jonah was going to commit suicide. He would have rather died than obeyed God. And you read the story, it wasn't until the third day in the belly of this fish or whale or whatever it was that Jonah cried out to God and repented. You talk about stubborn. Man, I would have been praying in tongues going over the side. But you read, it wasn't until 3 days that Jonah prayed. But maybe, just maybe you're a Jonah. And maybe you know God's spoken very specifically to you about something, and just maybe that storm in your life won't clear up until you say, okay, God, I'm willing to obey, because sometimes there's a lot of lives at stake tied to our obedience. Perhaps the source of the trouble in your life is the devil. You know, maybe sin has opened the door. Or it just may be an outright attack of the enemy. He is the accuser of the brethren, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it may not have anything to do with your obedience, just you happen to be made in the image of God, and the devil doesn't like you because of that. I remember when we were kids and you'd get some, you know, girl, she was your girlfriend, you'd get her picture, you know, you carry around in your wallet. And if you'd break up, you know what the guys would do? They'd take the picture and they'd tear it up and step on it. Well, you can't get at her, so you try and get at her image. And that's just what the devil wants to do. He can't get directly at God, so he goes after God's image. Perhaps that's the source. Or maybe it's just one of those things that happens because we are living in a fallen world where things go wrong from time to time. One day God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth where everything does function once again in harmony and according to the plan of God. But right now, friend, even the earth groans and travails knowing that a new heavens and a new earth are coming. And some of the stuff that happens just happens because this world has gone haywire since Adam's transgression. That might be something you would ask about, because you know what? If it's something that God's trying to get your attention due to an act of obedience that is extremely important for what God's chosen you to do, or whether it's an attack of the enemy, or whether it's just one of those things, it'll determine how you respond in the midst of your trial. Another bit of wisdom you might seek is asking God, what can I learn from this trial? What can I learn from this difficulty? Because though it may not be God sent, it can still be God used. I want you to think about that for a minute. Even if not God sent, it can certainly be God used. You know, quite a few years back, I had a friend that got into trouble, made some wrong choices, actually some very sinful choices in his life. And myself and a couple of other colleagues did our best to try and help him. But to our astonishment, and I'm sure it was just because of his pride, he lied and made us look like we were treating him unjustly and unfairly and, you know, kind of railroading him out of the position that he was in, when in fact, to our own hurt, we'd kept silent about the major part of his wrongdoing to protect him and his family. But he'd gone and told people just the exact opposite of what actually had happened. And so here we're trying to help someone. Suddenly, myself and others find ourselves in an even more difficult situation, being accused of being unjust, unscriptural, unfair, and untruthful. Not a fun place to find yourself in. God sent? No way. God used? Oh yeah. I learned some really valuable lessons, like lessons on forgiveness. Lessons on trusting God to vindicate you in His timing. Ever notice that didn't always happen in our timing? Lessons on praying and blessing rather than on retaliating. Lessons on not worrying about what others think about you. That's a big one. Terrible burden to have your peace in somebody else's head. And then just lessons on learning how dangerous pride truly is and what it'll cause people to do and why God hates it so. Scripture says that God does hate pride. I tell you what, I didn't enjoy what that individual's, you know, did, the little storm it brought into my life and other people's lives, and didn't enjoy going through it, but I wouldn't trade it now for anything. I'm a better man because of it. Because, you know, I decided to say, okay, God, you know, what can I learn? Can any good thing come out of this? And God said, oh yeah, I've got a few lessons you need to learn. On the third thing, when you're in a trial, and this is the one usually everybody thinks about, you can seek God for wisdom and guidance and how to overcome it and how to escape. That's the part everyone likes the best. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says there's no temptation. Same word translated, trial and trouble. There's no temptation, trial or trouble taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation, with the trouble, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Nothing takes God by surprise. Is there anybody in here facing any difficulties in their life right now? Maybe challenges at work, challenges in the home, challenges with your kids, challenges with your finances, some other challenge. It didn't take God by surprise. And He sat down in eternity past, saw that you would be at this crossroads, knew you'd be in this service, He knew what would be going on in your life, and he designed a way of escape, a way to overcome before the problem ever got here. So when you're in the midst of that trial, scanning the horizon for your answer, and it's not coming in, you're thinking, God, something's missing. I need to adjust something. Something's got to be different. Friend, God can give you wisdom to make that adjustment, to change whatever needs to change so that you can escape and so that you can overcome. And it may be anything from you need to rebuke the devil. You need to spend some time praising God. Maybe the wisdom he gives you to wait patiently with a quiet expectation for God to come through. Perhaps you need to forgive someone in order, you know, to get the cogs turning and get the wheels of your deliverance spinning. Or some other thing. Now, perhaps equally important to that is answering this question: how do I recognize God's wisdom when it comes? Now, I happen to believe that what James said he meant. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God gives to all liberally without finding fault. I believe that wisdom comes when we ask. But the question is, how do I recognize it when it comes? How do I know when God is going to talk to me? And I want you to mark your place here in the book of James and just look at a couple of places with me. I want to share something with you. Psalm 51, if you would. Psalm 51. Psalm 51 in verse 6. David is writing, and he was in big trouble when he wrote this. This is when it was all discovered that he'd had his little fling with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, and a bunch of things are going wrong in his life and in his family as a result of it. You read the cataclysmic effects of his sin and the fact that he tried to cover it up for over a year. And so he finally comes clean, and he knows he needs direction from God. And this, look what David says in verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Where does God make us to know his wisdom? In the hidden part. He's talking about in your spirit, in your heart. You might just make reference to this. It's 1 Peter 3 and 4. It talks about having a meek and a quiet spirit. And it refers to this new creation that we are when we accept Christ as being the hidden man of the heart, the hidden person of the heart, which Peter identifies as our spirit. So when David says, God, in the hidden part you'll make me to know wisdom, if we look at what the New Testament refers to as that hidden part being our spirit, then we need to understand that God causes us to recognize his wisdom in our spirit. Whatever avenue he brings that wisdom to us, that's the place you're going to know it, is in here. Here's a couple ways that it can come. Number one, through the Scriptures. Deuteronomy 4 and 6, it calls the Scriptures the wisdom of God. Jesus referred to the Scriptures as the wisdom of God in Luke 11 and 49. And as you read your Bible, what a novel idea. God will quicken a promise or a principle to your spirit, and you just know that's your answer. You don't know how you know, but you just know it. God makes you know in the hidden part. I was talking to a friend just last week. He was reading in Corinthians the verse that it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And it said, Bayless, it just went off inside of me. I knew God was speaking to me. The moment my eyes fell on that, it just sort of jumped off the page. He said, I was very deeply involved in a large business deal with an unsaved man. And I felt like God was warning me that I needed to extricate myself from those business dealings. He said, so I pulled out of what had all appearances of being a very lucrative business deal. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me through the Scriptures. And God's wisdom will come to you. And this is the first place we should look for it, is right in the book. So when you pray for wisdom, expect God to speak to you in your spirit through the Word. Secondly, the Holy Spirit can give you a dream or just bring a sudden revelation to your heart, and that would come under the category of the gifts of the Spirit spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Just sometimes you just know and you know her, and you don't know how you know and you know her, but you do. You know, how many years ago now? 29 years ago, maybe? I was a young Christian living down in Mexico doing missions work down there. And due to ignorance, lack of judgment, and whatever else, ended up in a very difficult situation. Ran out of resources. Myself and several other people that I was down there working with. We had no money. And consequently couldn't buy any fuel for my little Volkswagen van. And had no food. Wasn't a good thing to be in. You're in a foreign country. No petrol for your car. No food to eat. In fact, what we did have is there was a bag of beans, of dried beans that was about half full. And it was the funniest thing. I was praying one day, and God gave me a vision. Who wants to know what it was? I had a vision of that bag of beans. And I saw a cup scooping out the very bottom of the bag, the last part of it. And when I saw that, just saw it in here, as clear as anything I've ever seen in my life, I just knew, and I don't know how I knew that when we scooped out the last bit of beans out of that, that our answer would come. I just knew it. And you know what? It was over 2 weeks that all we ate was beans. I remember one day, I think I had an egg. I lost 25 pounds, and I was 15 pounds lighter to start with than I am now. I got down to 125, actually less than that. Yeah, I got down to 120 pounds. And that wasn't because I was holy and was fasting, because we had very little to eat. Had one little bit of beans every day, and I do remember one day having an egg. Somebody was kind to us and gave us a couple of eggs, and I got one of them. But the day, the last day when we scooped that bit of beans out, a miraculous, I mean, an out-of-the-box, over-the-top, miraculous answer came that not only bailed us out, but just, you know, sent us to the next level. It was amazing. And I don't have time to get into the whole story how that happened, but it happened on the very day, in fact, within hours after the last bit of beans were scooped out. That was what the Scripture called a word of wisdom. The Holy Spirit is capable of giving, showing something to you at any time regarding your situation. But you'll know it, again, in here. In the hidden part, He makes us to know wisdom. Thirdly, God can use someone to speak to you. Proverbs 10 and 31 says, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. Janet and I were at a conference years ago, in fact, more than 20 years ago. And at that time, the church was about maybe 500. And we were feeling very overwhelmed, trying to do so many things at once. And we just were having a difficulty coping with the busyness of the schedule and pastoring a church of 500. And at this conference we're at, the host of the conference said, you know what, everybody, let's turn around and get in little groups and pray. And so this guy turned around, nice, you know, regular-looking guy to pray with us. And I just felt like sharing with him. He says, can I pray with you for anything? I said, well, yeah, you know, we pastor a church and really finding it difficult to cope with the enormity of our schedules and to have a regular life as well. And it just turned out this guy that turned around to pray with us was a pastor as well. Pastor of a very large church. It was a church of a couple thousand, which was enormous to us at the time. And he shared something with us that has sustained us for over 20 years. It has been a pillar in my life since that day. God absolutely spoke into our lives through that man. This is what he said. He said, make sure you attend to the important and don't allow yourself to be tyrannized by the urgent. Because listen, 24/7, there are urgent. I have to get this now. I have to. He said, make sure you attend to the important and don't be tyrannized by the urgent. That bit of wisdom has saved my life, I'm sure. But it was God speaking to us through that individual. And I think sometimes God uses people to speak to us and they don't even have a clue that God's using them. That guy probably has no idea how profound his words were in my life and Janet's life. I had a guy come up to me one day. He says, "Baylis, you have no idea. This has happened two times." I said, "What's happened two times?" He says, "I was talking to you, and you said something that just went off inside of me, and it was the answer to the problem I was facing." I said, "You're kidding." And I said, "What did I say?" And he told me, I said, "That?" It's like, you know, I was just having a normal conversation, but to him, it was just the key that he needed. And God can use people, and I think God gets a kick sometimes out of using people that we don't like. Because he likes to sort of get as many lessons as he can in, like those pride ones, he's always chipping away at that one. And then finally, the fourth way we can expect God's wisdom to come, and it is next to the Scriptures, it would be the most common way, and that is through an inward peace. And remember, all these ways, we realize it, that it's God's wisdom coming to us on the inside. You just know it in your heart. In the hidden part, He makes us to know wisdom. Now let me quote to you. It's Proverbs 3 and 13. And most of that chapter deals with wisdom. It personifies wisdom. And it says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom." And then it says this, "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace." All of wisdom's pathways are peace. Okay? Here's the context. Back to James. "Man, I got stuff going on in my life. I've got lack. I'm in a trial. I don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end. The answer doesn't seem to come. God, I must be missing it somewhere. Give me wisdom." God says, "Glad you asked. I want to give it liberally, and I'm smiling while I do it." And so God sends His wisdom to us, and one of the predominant ways it comes is peace in our heart. See, if I'm walking in a way, all of her ways are peace. All of her paths are peace. If I'm walking in a pathway that's God's wisdom for my life, there's going to be an inward peace in my heart. Colossians 3:15 says this, and I'm quoting from the Amplified Bible. "Let the peace of God act as an umpire in your heart continually, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind." I'm going to say that again. Colossians 3:15 from the Amplified Bible. "Let the peace of God act as an umpire continually in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind." Got any questions in your mind? Let the umpire make a call, and let that be the final call. I make the greatest decisions in life based on whether I have peace or do not have peace about what I'm praying about. Either the peace in my heart or the lack thereof, the umpire's making a call. And I recognize God's wisdom. All of wisdom's pathways are peace. You know, we were at a softball game the other night. A bunch of the young guys in our church are in a softball league, and so we went out to cheer them on. And normally they have stands on each side, you know. Well, there was just one stand here, and so the good guys, Cottonwood, and the bad guys, the other team, all the fans were in the same stands, and this guy behind us was for the other team. And he's just one of these guys that won't shut up. He's just going on and on and on and on and on. In fact, he said, he's talking to the girl next to him. He said, "Be quiet." He said, "No, if I be quiet, everyone around here will die of boredom." I turned around and said, "I don't think so." I either said that or I said, "I doubt that." And he got a little quieter, but not much. And he argued with every call the umpire made. Every call the ump made, he had something to say about it. I'm going to tell you something, friend. The Holy Ghost umpire never makes a wrong call. Never. Even if it seems at the time to be wrong, every call eventually proves out to be heavenly wisdom. Learn to listen to the umpire in your heart. It's one of the ways that we recognize God's peace. All right, look back with me in the book of James, if you would. One more thing about asking God for wisdom It's right here in these verses. We must ask in faith. Again, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, James 1 and 5, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Right, when we ask God for wisdom, we have to ask in faith, no wavering. Now, the book just prior to this, the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the first verse, gives us the technical definition for faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things. It's the evidence of things. This section? Not seen. The evidence of things? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. All right? We're to ask for wisdom in faith. Meaning I ask God, and once I ask Him, they feel no different. Things do not look different, but I believe God has heard and granted my request by faith. Doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter if the circumstances have changed. And if you don't ask by faith, you don't get it. That's the requirement he puts on it. George Stormont, who used to come to Cottonwood quite often, he is in heaven now. And George and his wife Ruth were English. They pastored a church in Britain for many, many years. And came over to Duluth, Minnesota. And he pastored, I think, 26 years in Duluth. Some of you may have read a book he wrote called Smith Wigglesworth Remembered. He was a protege of Smith Wigglesworth, saved under the Jeffries Brothers ministry in Britain many years ago, and was a marvelous preacher. And we would bring George out to preach quite often, and we wanted to bring Ruth out, but she was ill. And so George just spoken to our staff upstairs, and I'm talking to him, and I said, George, you know, really, you know, would like to get Ruth out to come with you as well, and we'll really take care of you. And he said, well, she's been very ill lately. I said, well, let's pray. And so we took hands, and I prayed this fervent prayer for Ruth's healing. And we got done, said amen. And then I said, well, you know, if she's feeling any better, you know, in the next couple of weeks, we'll talk about it. And he looked at me and says, Bayless, you don't believe your own prayer, do you? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, here you just prayed for her fervent healing. And then you said, well, if, you know, she's feeling any better, you just negated your own prayer by your language afterwards. And it was a very kind rebuke, but it was a rebuke that I've never forgotten. And he was absolutely right. I prayed a prayer. I didn't believe God had heard and answered it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been putting a big if in my sentence afterwards. In fact, look with me, if you would, in the book of James chapter 5. We find an example of a prayer of faith here that's really quite illuminating. James chapter 5 and verse 15 here, it talks about the prayer of faith again in connection with the sick. It says, and the prayer of faith will save or will heal the sick. Same word translated healed in your Bible. The Lord will raise him up, etc. And then if you drop down to verse 17, he gives an example of someone that prayed this prayer of faith. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And so he comes back again to this thing about praying in faith, and he immediately cites Elijah as an example of someone that prayed a prayer in faith. And we don't have time to go there, but I want to encourage you, write the reference down and read it later. It's 1 Kings chapter 17 and chapter 18. Here's the story, and it teaches us a great lesson about praying in faith. God had said in the book of Deuteronomy that if His people turned aside and began to follow idols and worship idols, that He would shut up the heavens and there would be no rain. But you know what? They turned completely to idols. In fact, King Ahab and his wife Jezebel led the entire nation into pagan worship. But God's word was never fulfilled. Rain clouds would come in, drop their rain, the crops would grow. Every year they got the early rain and the latter rain without fail. Next season, rain come, early rain, latter rain, every year. And they continue on their idolatry until somebody prayed. Elijah took the promise and he prayed. You see, the promises will lay dormant, though they are latent with power, until they are received and prayed. So Elijah prays according to the promise, and the heavens gave, or the heavens shut up and they didn't rain. 3.5 years, it says, there was no rain. And you know the story, 1 Kings 18, he calls a big showdown up on Mount Carmel, and the false prophets of Baal, you know, call out to Baal. Elijah calls out to God, God answers by fire. The whole nation repents and turns back to God. All right, it's ripe now for the heavens to give their rain once again. They've turned from their idolatry. They've turned back to God in mass. Does it rain? No. Someone has to take a promise and pray. But Elijah knows now that the conditions are right again, and he prayed. In fact, the scripture paints the picture language of him putting his head between his knees and praying. And he says the most interesting thing to King Ahab. He tells his servant, says, go tell Ahab to eat and drink because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Now, wait a minute, Elijah. There hasn't been a cloud in the sky for 3.5 years. There's no lightning, there's no thunder, there's no clouds, there's no wind, there's nothing. And you say, you hear the sound of the abundance of rain? Elijah would say, yep, I hear it by faith. And that's what the whole context here is about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Did I find a promise like the one in James? If you lack wisdom, you ask of God. He will give it liberally. And He won't reproach you. He won't find fault. But we have to ask in faith. And so he says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And I'm sure his servants looked at him and says, huh? And then he tells his servant, says, go look over the horizon. Servant goes, comes back, says, what'd you see? Nothing. Go again. Goes, comes back. Nothing. Go back again. Goes, comes back. Nothing. Goes again. Come back. Nothing. He says, go again. Goes back. Comes back. Nothing. Says, go again. Goes, comes back. Nothing. There's nothing there. Says, go again. Telling you, it'll come. I pray. I know God heard me. Go look again. Comes back. Says, well, there's this little cloud about the size of a man's hand on the horizon. Says, all right, go tell Ahab. Better get his chariot ready and go to Jezreel before the rain's overtaken. And then the sky grew black with clouds and the rain came. But Elijah heard the sound of rain and he believed it before there was any evidence. And when I feel as dry as a bone and it looks like nothing has changed and I feel like God's a million miles away from it, it makes no difference. If I've asked Him for wisdom, I believe God has heard me, and whatever avenue He chooses, if He's going to speak through you, if He's going to use somebody I don't like, if there's going to be a sudden revelation in my spirit, if it comes to me as I read the Word, if it's God ministering to me through His peace, I know it's going to... Go look again! I don't see anything. Go look again. I know God has sent the answer, and you cannot convince me otherwise. God will give us wisdom when we ask. Now, since we're here in James, oh man, I hardly have time to do this. Chapter 5 and verse 14. Let's look at it quickly while we have the time. It says, is anyone among you sick? James 5 and 14. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save or will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. The Message Bible says, believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will put you on your feet, and if you sin, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Actually, it'd take me another 20 minutes to cover what I want to cover on this. And I had another one, believe it or not, in my notes, another prayer besides. But we don't have time. So we'll just, you know what's coming next week, at least the first part then, all right? If you're here today and you don't know what to do, you fall into one of those various trials, whatever area of life, listen, God will not hold out on you. Your problem hasn't taken God by surprise. He has wisdom to show you what to do. Pastor, my problem is of my own creation. I've been disobedient. I've been stupid. I'm in a mess and I'm responsible. You know what? Our God is a God of mercy. And it didn't say here that if you lack wisdom, you can ask of God and He'll give liberally unless you made the mess yourself. No, He'll give liberally without finding reproach. If you mess things up, repent. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Would you close your eyes just for a minute, if you would? If you need wisdom from God right now, well, first of all, if you need to repent for anything, let's make sure our hearts are clean before Him. Just ask God to forgive you. And we're going to take just a moment. And ask God for wisdom. Why don't you lift your heart with me? Tie your heart around this as I pray. Heavenly Father, I trust that my words resonate with many hearts here as we come to You today. You told us very plainly that if we lack wisdom, if we don't know what to do, that we could ask You and You would give wisdom liberally to us without finding fault, without scolding us. God, we ask You for wisdom right now. Show us what to do. Cause Your wisdom to dawn upon our hearts. Lord, for that one that's struggling in their marriage, show them the next steps they need to take. God, that's all we're asking for is just the next step. Father, for that one, and I just sense the Holy Spirit speaking to me right now, that invested and stretched so much when the real estate market was up, and now they find themselves stretched paper thin and in dire straits. Father, grant wisdom. God, to that one that's been grappling with temptations, hasn't seen their way clear, grant them wisdom, O God. Father, thank You for hearing our hearts, and sending the answer. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Maybe just put your hands, just palms upward in your lap right now, just a sign of acknowledgement, sign of surrender. Just a sign of praise. Lord, we thank You. We believe You've heard us. Our hearts ask this in faith, O God. From this moment onward, we consider that prayer answered. Thank You, Lord. We will know what to do. We believe Your wisdom will come and You will make it known in the hidden part. We'll recognize it when it comes, O God. And we'll be obedient and courageous. Obey that wisdom when it comes to us. Jesus, our desire is that our lives would glorify You. We bless You tonight. Amen. Would you look this way if you would? Our time is up. And I can't let the service go without saying this. If you've come tonight and you don't have peace in your heart with God, if you've been on a journey looking for God, or if you've encountered God at some point in your life, but you find yourself far away, you've been messing around, playing around out on the fringes. Friend, God's not mad at you, but you do need to come back to Him. You need to repent, rededicate your life to Christ. Be very serious about it. Life is a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away, and I think that really is driven home when a tragedy happens. It's happened here recently. Life is quick. But the fact of the matter is, you are more than a flesh and blood body. Every one of us is an eternal being that will spend an eternity somewhere. The only way to know that your eternity is secure with God is to embrace His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, was raised from the dead for our justification. And here's another promise that you can believe. Jesus said, "He that comes to me, I'll not turn away." The Bible says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Confess Him as your Lord. And we're going to dismiss. Van, you guys can come up. You look so great standing along the wall over there, but come on up. If you want to talk to somebody about your spiritual life, you need prayer in particular for salvation or some other spiritual matter, or maybe just some other thing you want someone to pray with, there'll be some folks waiting up here right in this area after service. You'll know them. They have a little name tag on.